A city of 50,000 people rose from a flat, treeless plain with no stone, no timber, and no natural defenses. That was Uruk in southern Mesopotamia during the late 4th millennium BCE. It sounds impossible. The land between the lower Tigris and Euphrates rivers, what we now call southern Iraq, was, by most measures, a hostile place to build a civilization. Floods came without warning, droughts followed. Yet from that volatile, resource-poor strip of alluvial soil, humanity produced something it had never produced before, the city-state. And Anthony, understanding why that happened here, in this specific environment, unlocks the entire story of how empires are born. The key idea is this: the rivers made cooperation mandatory. Think of a single farming family trying to manage an irrigation canal alone. The Tigris and Euphrates flooded unpredictably and violently. Without coordinated canal systems, crops failed. Without crops, people starved. So communities that could organize large groups of workers to dig, maintain, and distribute water survived. Those that couldn't, didn't. Sumerian agriculture depended entirely on irrigated soil. That irrigation generated grain surpluses. But surpluses created a new problem. Who counts the grain? Who stores it? Who decides who gets what? Solving that problem required administrators. Administrators required authority, and authority, over time, hardened into hierarchy. The environment didn't just shape Sumerian society, it demanded it. Now, Uruk is where that demand produced something genuinely radical. By the 3rd millennium BCE, Sumer was organized into roughly a dozen independent city-states: Uruk, Ur, Lagash, Nippur, Eridu, and others. Each combined an urban center with the surrounding farmland that fed it. Each identified with a patron deity and built temples to honor that god. But those temples were not simply places of worship. They managed land, they ran industries, they organized trade and storage. Southern Mesopotamia lacked metals, stone, and timber, so cities had to reach outward, trading grain surpluses for essential materials from distant regions. The temple sat at the center of all of it, spiritual authority and economic engine fused into one institution. The earliest known royal palaces in Sumer date to approximately 2600 BCE, which tells us something important. For a long time, the priest administrator, not the king, held the real power. Secular authority came later, and it came partly because city-states kept fighting each other. Military pressure strengthened the political role of kings. The Sumerian terms Insi and Lugal marked different grades of leadership, with Lugal, commonly translated as king, eventually rising to dominance. The Sumerian king list even declared that kingship had descended from heaven, linking political power directly to divine legitimacy. That move, wrapping authority in the sacred, is one of the oldest political technologies in human history. Here is where it gets genuinely fascinating, Anthony. The administrative pressure of managing all those surpluses, all that labor, all those temple transactions, it produced something no one planned. Writing. The earliest known writing in Mesopotamia emerged at Uruk, tied directly to administrative activities. Scribes pressed proto-cuneiform signs into clay tablets to track goods and labor. It was not poetry. It was not prayer. It was accounting. The simple need to count grain ended prehistory. Cuneiform, that wedge-shaped system pressed into clay, eventually expanded to record legal decisions, religious texts, and literature, including the legendary King Gilgamesh, who ancient sources associate with Uruk itself. But its origin was purely practical. That is the pattern you will see again and again across this course. The tools of empire begin as solutions to mundane problems. Sumerian society also developed clear social stratification: nobles, commoners, dependents, and enslaved people, and surviving economic documents confirm that private ownership of houses and fields existed alongside temple holdings. Power was layered, contested, and complex from the very beginning. The takeaway here is precise. The transition from small farming villages to complex city-states was not driven by ambition or conquest, not at first. It was driven by necessity. The volatile rivers of Mesopotamia forced large-scale cooperation. That cooperation required coordination. Coordination required administrators. Administrators accumulated authority. Authority crystallized into hierarchy. And hierarchy, once it controlled enough territory and enough people, became the raw material of empire. Sumer gave the world its first cities, its first writing, its first kings, and its first blueprint for organized power. What separates a collection of independent city-states from a true empire is the moment one ruler's authority extends beyond a single city's walls, absorbing neighbors, not just trading with them. That moment was coming, and Anthony, the story of how it arrived, is exactly where we go next.